Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
B. Mitch and Finley, high noon in the District of Columbia. Shout out to Wildcard Scotty. Appreciate you, pal. Emmy Squared, very good pizza, and even got me my own personal cheese. That's a friend right there. Right now, excited to get to the BetQL guest line and talk to our friend, Mr. Nick Ackridge. Nick covers the Commanders for Pro Football Focus. Nick, what up, dude? How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. How you guys been?
We are good, bro. You had a tweet that caught my eye the other day, and I am a believer. I'm a subscriber. I have a password, all of it, right, to Pro Football Focus. Sometimes I think the subjective stuff, like there's so much good objective stuff, snap counts, formations, all the information, and people get so caught up in the subjective stuff that whether you are a supporter or a detractor, that like that's where people go, and I don't think it is fair or accurate. But you had a tweet the other day, and you were far from alone in this, but I thought I applaud taking some ownership of it. You're like, yo, I think I might have misread Cliff Kingsbury's offense in Washington. This looks pretty damn good. You want to expand on that?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I was a little underwhelmed with the Cliff hire at start. You know, you just kind of looking back at his Arizona offenses and what he did or didn't do really at USC. But yeah, I was wrong. I was just flat out wrong. This offense, it's different than what he did in Arizona. And you know, week one had me a little bit scared with, you know, the screens and the short pass and all that sort of stuff. But you could, you know, I kind of went back after both week one and week two and went back and really watched the film and kind of saw that, hey, this is different. There's a lot of guys that are running open. You know, we saw kind of from the jump that the run game was unique, was different, and was performing really well. So, yeah, I mean, three straight games with at least 30 points, and I think they could have scored way more than that. I mean, you know, you're pulling Jaden Daniels in the fourth quarter, and they had 30 plus in, through three quarters. So, and there were still a ton of missed opportunities that could have easily made it 40 plus. So, yeah, I was flat out wrong. And just this offense is a lot of fun to watch.
Well, dude, I think multiple things can be true, right? I think a lot of people were underwhelmed with the Cliff hire because there was so much excitement, discussion, including myself on this, that it was going to be Ben Johnson to get hired. Right. And then that thing went sideways for probably more reasons than we've been led to believe. But that went sideways. Then it becomes DQ. And I think this was not an opinion I felt, but a lot of people thought it's got to be an offensive guy. Otherwise, it's a mistake off the break. And then DQ hires Cliff. What I liked about Cliff a lot, and I think kind of got under discussed, if you're only looking at the offense from the Arizona days, they were steadily growing, and I think his track record with quarterbacks speaks for itself. Whether or not you think McLaurin is in motion enough, whatever kind of the advanced metrics were suggesting, his track record with quarterbacks from Baker to Mahomes to Kyler to Caleb for a year, that speaks for itself, I think. But when that Cardinals team, I believe it was 21, was really good, they ran the hell out of the football. And I feel like that has become less in vogue, even though the best offenses all do it. I mean, Kareem Hunt went for $125 last night. The Rams, the Niners, like these good teams off the Shanahan tree that everybody always talks about, all they want to do is establish dominance running the football, and I think Kingsbury had that in him, and I think we're seeing a lot of that now.
Yeah, no, I mean, I completely agree. The run game is, you know, I didn't study the Cardinals run game too close, but you're right, they were a very good running team, and obviously something kind of happened there, but what they're doing now in the run game is just so, it's so fun. They're throwing a ton of different concepts at teams. They're, you know, throwing wrinkles in these concepts and, you know, you know, your typical run. They're adding like kind of their own unique element to it, which, you know, just kind of sets up the defense in ways that, you know, makes them vulnerable. And they're doing a great job with the run game, which is just going to make it easier for Jaden Daniels. And he has blown everybody out of the water with what he's done. But that run game is doing such a great job right now.
I don't know. I just read this Baldinger thing. They have 13 rushing touchdowns through five games, five ahead of two teams tied for second in rushing touchdowns, and one off the pace they set all of last year. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It also tells you how broken last year's offense was.
Yeah, but you get a rushing quarterback like Jaden Daniels in this short yardage stuff, the goal line stuff. It's so hard for defense to defend. And even when you're 100% right, we've seen Jaden make guys miss. We've seen B-Rob make guys miss. And even if you're right on defense, you can still lose. And that's what makes this attack, especially in short yardage stuff, so great.
All right, talking with our buddy Nick Ackridge from Pro Football Focus. Give him a follow at @PFF_NickAckridge. And make sure you're checking out PFF. They've got you covered all season long with the best data, tools, and analysis in the game. Sign up for PFF Plus today to unlock all of their famous player grades and premium stats. Push to the playoffs in your fantasy league with in-season tools and award-winning rankings from their fantasy experts. Check them out. PFF Plus is less than $10 a month. Dude, I just pulled up your Twitter account. Is today your birthday? Happy birthday, man.
Yeah, it is. Turning the big 3-0 today. So,
wow,
really sure
big one.
Not really sure how I feel about that one.
There's some irony that B-Mitch just left, and you're turning the big 3-0.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what you got anything fun planned? Grill a big old steak or, I don't know, go out to a club or something?
The football season, unfortunately, does not stop for my birthday. So we're going to go through a bunch of college run game stuff, and we're going to continue to grade that. That's going to be how I spend my birthday today.
There you go. I love it. Listen, as a guy that works in football and his birthday's in September, I understand. Birthdays,
yeah.
Now 30, maybe you should celebrate because that's a bit of a milestone.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go out with the wife tonight, get a nice dinner, but other than that, I got nothing planned.
Okay, good. Yeah, like the milestone birthdays, fine, but I just turned 43, and it was by and large an inconvenience. Like, I wish I could have just fast-forwarded because it matters to my kids. Like, I got young kids that think birthday's a big deal. So I have to, like, do the song and dance of caring, even though it's like I'd rather just do some more work and sleep. Specific to PFF, through 5 weeks, what does your data suggest is sustainable for this commander squad?
You know, it's the run game stuff that we already talked about, and it's also Jaden Daniels. I think, you know, one thing that we've really kind of looked at in years past is, you know, what is – a stat or a grade that kind of performs year in and year out and predicts, you know, future success. And that's clean pocket grade. You know, how a quarterback performs when everything is perfect, you know, when they have a clean pocket, they're not under pressure, how well can they perform? And you know, Jaden's played really well. He's got a 86.8 overall grade in a clean pocket, which is top 10 in the NFL. And that's just really indicative of future success. You know, a lot of times we think of, you know, how well they can deal with pressure is how well they're going to perform in the future. But it's really kind of the opposite. You know, when you're kept clean and you can, you know, orchestrate an NFL offense the way it's supposed to be, it's just a great, you know, predictor of what you can see in the future.
Are there any numbers that stand out that have you concerned about anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the turnover-worthy stuff is kind of creeping up a little bit with Jaden. He had a few, but, you know, kind of in the back of my mind, I kind of wanted to continue to push the ball downfield. I mean, he was a little hesitant in college to kind of, you know, be a little bit risk averse. And I do want to continue to see him push the ball down the field. You know, some stuff on defense in terms of, you know, secondary coverage rate, stuff like that. Missed tackles was kind of a big one, you know, through the first 3 weeks. But I think the last 2 weeks they've done a much better job of tackling because I think their defense, you know, in terms of run defensive stuff, structure wise, was great. They were kind of always in the right spot that they needed to be. They just, you know, couldn't finish plays from tackling.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up. Dan Quinn yesterday specifically said one of the biggest changes for our defense has been we're tackling a lot better. Do you think the defensive performances for Washington in the last 2 weeks, where they've given up, I'd say 20 points in real gameplay, but I suppose it's 27 or 26 because the Browns did get that late incredible junk touchdown. But the defense has given up, what, 13 per game in the last two games, 13 and a half? How much of that is the defense coming together, Luvu becoming the player some of us expected, Armstrong providing pressure, better tackling? I mean, they've kind of figured out who they want to play in the secondary and who they don't, right? How much of that is real versus how much of that is bad underperforming offenses, whatever?
Yeah, I think the Arizona one was, you know, much more encouraging because, you know, I think Kyler's a very good quarterback, and they kind of really shut them down other than that first opening touchdown they had. Last week it was pretty rough from the Browns offense. The Commanders defense didn't really do much, you know, special there. That offense was pretty bad. But again, you still have to go out and perform. And, you know, speaking of Frankie Louvu, he's, you know, really, really stepped it up these past 2 weeks, and only two missed tackles in those two games. And that's kind of a huge thing. And, you know, using him off the edge to rush the passer is, you know, kind of a secret weapon. And something I kind of pointed to, you know, in the offseason when they signed him, the Panthers did a good job of, you know, at some point, you know, third down packages, using him off the edge to rush the passer, and he's a great pass rusher. I mean, he had 10 pass rushing snaps and 5 pressures on Sunday. So using him in those situations is great. And like you said, they kind of have found something that it looks like they're going to stick with in terms of the secondary, and that's, you know, Sanders still out wide and Igbinoghene in the slot, and that's kind of worked these past 2 weeks. And I think you're just seeing a unit that is slowly kind of, you know, figuring itself out. And you see it typically with defenses the first couple weeks that, you know, the communication isn't really what it is supposed to be, just because, you know, it's their first couple games playing with each other, and communication is really kind of all about reps. And you don't see as many busted coverages all over these past 2 weeks. So I think it is slowly coming together, but you're going to have a huge test on Baltimore, and all of that can change within a week.
Yeah. So let's turn the page to Baltimore then. Everybody check him out at PFF underscore Nick Akridge, AKRIDGE. Check out PFF Plus, only 10 bucks a month. You get a boatload of data. You can try to win some bets or fantasy, whatever you're into. What do you make of the Ravens? Obviously, they come into the season as one of the biggest threats to win the Super Bowl. They were the one seed in the AFC last year. They lost at home in the AFC title game to the Chiefs. The Ravens are in a zone where it's kind of Super Bowl or bust. Anything less than a Super Bowl, at least appearance, is a failure for them. And now Washington goes up there with a better record and a massive, massive game.
Yeah, I if you would have told me that this game was going to be a 4-1 team versus a 3-2 team, I would have been shocked that you would have told me that the Commanders were the 4-1 team. But you know, it's just kind of everything that we talked about that they've been doing well is what they're going to have to continue to do well, whether that's run defense and especially tackling. Obviously, you've got Derrick Henry back there and Lamar Jackson as a runner as well. Tackling is going to be huge. You can't, you know, if you fit the run well, you have to be able to finish. That's going to be a huge thing. And if, you know, if the defense kind of goes back to what it was before, that offense is going to have to keep rolling. And it could become a shootout like we saw with Cincinnati and Baltimore. But Lamar's played really, really great these past couple weeks, and you definitely need to get pressure back there. And again, if you get pressure, you have to finish it, which is one of the toughest things when it comes to playing Lamar Jackson. But he kind of seems to be rounding back into that MVP form. So it could be a shootout. And, you know, I kind of like Washington's offense right now. And I think you could see a similar game to, you know, when Washington played the Bengals or again, against the Ravens and the Bengals.
It's fascinating. I was on Channel 4 last night talking with the folks, Un and Leon, and I don't know that Washington defensively can slow down Derrick Henry and particularly the Ravens' rush attack and Lamar and his greatness in and out of the pocket. But I also don't know that the Ravens can slow down this Washington attack, right? Is there reason to think there's something Baltimore will do defensively Washington can't account for?
As of right now, no. I mean, like I just said, we saw the Bengals go up and put 38 on them. I mean, it's not – the Ravens aren't really kind of this typical vaunted defense that you see in the past. I mean, they've obviously got some really great players, Roquan Smith. Kyle Van Noy's been playing great this year as well. But, man, this Washington offense is on a roll. I mean, it's tough for any defense to stop them. I mean, they just kind of – put 30 on the Browns defense, which, you know, was seemingly a pretty good good defense before it completely shut down Myles Garrett. They had a great plan for him. So I think you're going to see, again, I think you're going to see a shootout, and I kind of like Washington's offense in that scenario.
It's fascinating, right? Yo, while I got you, I'd be crazy not to at least ask you about the Jets situation, firing a coach going into week 6. What do you make of it?
Yeah, that was shocking. I didn't think I was going to last the year, but week 6 was a little bit early. I mean, I guess it makes sense. If you don't think he's going to last a year, you might as well pull the trigger now and see what you can get from an interim guy. But it's not great. It's a very familiar kind of scene over there as a Washington fan. You kind of, this is what we're typically used to. So it's interesting to see it with a different team. But yeah, definitely a unique choice. I don't think Saleh was really the problem. Their offense has really, really struggled recently. Aaron Rodgers kind of has been struggling these past 2 weeks. So I'm not sure if Saleh was really the problem, but you know, everything starts with head coach.
Yeah. I mean, it's just hard to think this is not a capitulation to Aaron Rodgers. And maybe that's what you have to do, right? Like, hey, this dude's going to be the quarterback, barring injury. Let's give him what he wants and see if we can turn this around. Maybe it's not even the wrong decision. What would be your dream scenario, wacky hire, the Jets just do something nuts here? Because for me, I think offensively is where you need the help. And I recognize the emails and everything. I recognize that this will not happen and the absurdity of all of it. But what if there's just an announcement tomorrow, the New York Jets have hired John Gruden?
Yeah, that would I also saw Bill Belichick floating out there as well, which would be hilarious. I don't know what they do. If the interim doesn't work out, you try to hire a coach in season. I don't remember the last time that's really ever happened. And
I don't know that it's ever happened, honestly. Yeah, I'm just kind of messing around. But
it's all on Aaron Rodgers. I mean, this is kind of what you got when you brought him in, and you kind of, you know, brought all in the weapons that he wanted, and this is what you're going to get, and it's on him, and he's going to have to perform now. I mean, you can't really blame it on a coach anymore. You can continue to try to blame it on the offensive coordinator, but this is the guy he wanted to bring in. It's the weapons he wanted to bring in, and the Jets they're going to have to continue to go all in. I mean, they don't really have any other option right now.
Yeah, seriously. Some interesting notes around the media sphere today. Aaron Rodgers usually does a Tuesday appearance on Pat McAfee. Apparently, he's unavailable today, Lamphill. And Nick, how about this one? Devontae Adams usually does Tuesdays with Kay Adams, and apparently Devontae's unavailable. Just what a weird coincidence. I mean, you know, must be bad traffic or something.
Yeah, bad traffic to get to the phone, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yo, Nick, very happy birthday, man. Everybody give him a follow at @PFF_NickAckridge. Send him a tweet. Wish him a happy birthday. We appreciate you making time for us, and we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, man.
All right, dude. That is Nick Ackridge, Pro Football Focus. Check him out, PFF Plus, only $10 a month. A lot for us to get to. I want to go kind of around the league, talk about some truths that exist out there. You know I am in search of the truth. We also have Africa Cup tickets to give away. I'm going to say something quietly, Lamphill, and we'll see what happens. Ready? We got pizza. I'd love to have Chris Russell join the show. Let's see if that happens. Nobody go anywhere. It's B-Mission Phil.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Update. We're a fearsome foursome on the B. Mitch and Finley program. Me, B, Landini, Jeffrey. B. Mitch had something he had to take care of, and now apparently Jeff has something he has to take care of. We got pizza delivered, and Jeff is on his throne. We're going to see if he'll call in. We know he loves calling into the radio program from his throne. We'll see if that's available. What I'd like to do, kind of going forward, if you miss any of our interview with Nick Akridge, get on. Where do I point to people? The Odyssey app? The YouTube? Somewhere. It exists. Google it. He's there somewhere. Listen to it. Here's what we're going to do. We have pizza, Rooster. We'd like to hear from you. 12:45. I gave Matt Essig a slice of pizza. That should all but guarantee our appearance from the Rooster. Don't you think, Lanville? That does assume he'll get here on time. You never know. Seven simple truths after week five. This is from, I'm going to botch his name, and then we've had him on the show, and he's really smart. Jeffrey Chadaha from NFL.com.
I believe it's Chadia.
Chadia, thank you. I don't know why. This is becoming like a real problem in my brain. I get very nervous to say people's last names. Let's go through what he's got. Because I think you can make a claim here. The Minnesota Vikings are 5-0. They are playing fantastic defense. Brian Flores is not only suing the NFL. I think that's still going on. Maybe that's been settled. I'm unaware. He's suing the NFL, but right now, is he the best assistant coach in the NFL as the Vikings D coordinator? Landini, is that the truth to you?
I mean, honestly, I think it's either him or Kingsbury.
I think Kingsbury has a claim, dude.
Yeah.
And to my point from earlier this morning about how like we're all in such a rush not to give the Chiefs credit for anything, what about Spagnuolo, dude? That Chiefs defense is just always so excellent, and everybody is desperate to talk about anybody but the 5-0 back-to-back defending Super Bowl champs.
Yeah, I'm a Chiefs hater, so I'm going to put Spagnuolo last in the Assistant Coach of the Year rankings. Kingsbury or Flores, that's who it should be.
I think you can make a real claim it's Kingsbury.
Yeah.
Why are you a Chiefs hater?
I'm just bored with them.
I think everybody is.
Yeah.
And think about what you're bored with. The greatest quarterback of his generation, a tight end that's a Hall of Famer that's dating a freaking pop star. She's probably the most famous person on the planet. It's crazy. It's crazy how this happens. This is like when teams got bored, when people got bored of MJ. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, like Bad Boys is a great movie, but I don't want to watch it six times in a row. It would get really boring.
Mike Lowry.
The Chiefs are boring. They need to go away for a couple of years, and they refuse to, which, I mean, I guess that's what they're supposed to do, but for the rest of us who aren't Chiefs fans, which is pretty much anybody, everyone else, it's just really boring, and I want any other show to come on.
Would it be different if they were New York or LA?
No, it'd be even worse.
Okay.
Because we already hear about New York and LA all the time anyway, even though when they don't deserve it.
Right. But dude, what's crazy is like we get force fed the Falcons almost as much in national primetime as we get the Chiefs. Give me the Chiefs. Give me the good team. Chiefs are on a bye this week, Lanville. You shouldn't hear much from them. All right, Flores as your top assistant coach across the league. Right now, I don't have a ton of complaints with it. They're really good. I think Kingsbury has a real argument. Simple truth number two from Jeffrey Chadia. The race for NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year is locked up. I'm reading now. Nobody is catching Jaden Daniels for this award. Not with the hot start he's jumped out to. Even the most optimistic Commanders fan couldn't have predicted this team would be sitting at 4-1 and in first place in the NFC East at this stage, or that Daniels would be operating like the league's next superstar. Sunday's win over Cleveland was a bit of an off day for him. It's the first time he completed less than 71% of his passes in a game, and Daniels still ran for 82 to go along with 238 passing yards. It means even more that Daniels has been enjoying this success while playing with one of the worst defenses in the league. He knows this team needs to score a lot of points to win games. He's going out and generating that production every time he takes the field. In fact, the only question concerning Daniels by year's end will be how seriously he could contend for league MVP. He's been that good. good. No lies detected, dude.
No, that's the truth.
B would tell us, hey, calm down, week to week. Do you know what the hype Rocket's going to be if they win in Baltimore? Do you know what next week's going to be like, Landfill?
Yeah.
Like, I already noticed this past week at FedEx or Northwest, the amount of cameras and media was already significantly higher. There's already a bunch, like, Sal Palantonio was there. NFL Network was there.
I mean, they got Nance and Romo doing the game this week.
Right. Doing it 1 o'clock.
They started off the season with, like, the E-team from Fox. And now that they're 5 weeks, 6 weeks into the season, they've got the CBS A-team calling the games.
Yeah, I don't know, Jim. If they win this week, see if you can pull up Sunday night. You pull up Monday night. Now, CBS blocked this game getting flexed, and people are up in arms about that. Chris Kerwin said this to me. You want to know a secret? They can't block them all. So they blocked this one, but that doesn't mean later in the year they're going to block them all, okay? I got Sunday Night Football in front of me. No, this is last year. Give me this year. Damn it. This week's game, kind of a dud. Bengals-Giants. But people will watch Burrow and the New York media market so massive. Week 7, next week, Jets-Steelers. The final score is going to be 16-15. That's a dog. I don't know that there's going to be a huge push to flex that because that should do massive numbers. And frankly, I don't think Skins-Panthers is the game you flex to. We keep going here, though. Cowboys-Niners, they ain't moving that. Week 9, Lambphill. Week 9, Sunday Night Football. Who wants to watch Jags-Eagles? You? You want to watch the Jaguars, the 1-4 Jaguars? You know who's playing Week 9? New York Giants. That's a team everybody, every television executive loves seeing the Giants on TV. They're playing the Washington Commanders. Jaden Daniels, first regular season trip to New York.
I think one that could be getting flexed here coming up is week 11.
Colts-Jets?
That is a terrible game.
It's a rematch, though, of Super Bowl III when Broadway Joe Willie guaranteed a win.
Do you know who the Commanders play that week?
Week 11. Dallas?
Dallas.
Ho-ho-ho!
That's got to be Sunday Night Football.
Ho-ho-ho-ho! Landini, I think you're on to something, bruh. Eagles-Rams, week 12, there are some dogs. They're going to, the flex machine is coming. Bowflex.
Dolphins-Packers. I mean, at least it sounded like a decent game at the beginning of the year.
Week 13, now listen, I think, Landfill, I think you might be confused though, dude. You had week 11 Colts-Jets, right? Sunday the 17th. The problem that week is the Commanders are already locked in for Thursday night against the Eagles. But still, now they're not going to move them off Thursday night to move them to Sunday night. Week 12, Eagles-Rams, when you've got Skins-Cowboys sitting there, unless the Rams get hot and with all the injuries, I'm not so sure. And I don't know what the hell the Eagles are going to become if A.J. Brown keeps missing time and Devontae Smith. Week 12, I think that's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. If you have a ticket for Commanders Cowboys, you might want to make daycare plans for the next morning. Like if you got to watch the baby, you might be out real late, dog. That seems like one you could circle. Give me the Monday night schedule, Landy. You got that? Because starting late in the year, they can start flexing Monday nights too. Hell, I think they can flex Thursday nights.
I didn't know they could flex Monday nights.
That just changed. Remember, John Mara was like, hell no, we shouldn't do this. And all the new owners just pushed it through anyway.
I mean, it is a terrible idea. Week 13 is the Browns-Broncos.
On Monday Night Football?
Yeah, that should be a pretty abysmal game.
I don't know that you're flexing in, though, Commanders-Titans.
Yeah.
But if you were to do it, that wouldn't be an awful time because the Commanders have their bye the next week.
Right.
I think you get late in the year when nothing is announced. That Falcons game, week 17, there's no announcement of time or date. I think you're looking at a Saturday night national TV audience. And then week 18, nothing is announced. I think it's, you know what is current? Oh, my God. Do you know what the current week 17 Sunday night football game is? Dolphins-Browns.
Yikes.
You're telling me Commanders-Falcons couldn't be that game? Kirk in a new uniform back in Northwest Stadium? That's a fun game. What games could be flexed? I mean, you talk about the ultimate throwing S at the wall. Ooh, speaking of throwing S at the wall, I hear the rooster. We'll see if he'll sit down with us next. Good things, yeah. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Landfill and I just played a fun exercise of possible flex games for the Commanders. We thought week 12, Sunday night football is currently Eagles, Rams. What if they move Cowboys, Commanders to Sunday night? And a lot of people are correctly pointing out that the Cowboys then play Thanksgiving Day 4 days later. They've done that to all the other teams in the NFL, and it's high time they do it to Dallas, frankly. That has happened all the time. So to suggest that that could never happen is incorrect. Hello. We are now joined by Chris Russell, who was telling the world how good his lighting is in all of his social media posting. Hello, Chris.
Hello, JP. I was not telling the world. I was arguing with our boss and with Grant Paulson, who are the social media police. They literally walk around with sirens on top of their head, making fun of me and everyone else for our social media shortcomings. So that's how what you walked into.
It is mostly you.
It is mostly me. People like to pick on me for whatever reason, and I'm 51 years into this thing, and I haven't figured it out yet.
Landfill, you wanna offer an answer there? You also take everything as a perceived slight.
I used to be a lot worse, if you could believe that. You know, probably since I've known you, I've been a lot more chill and a lot cooler.
When I first started coming out there before you and I really knew each other, and I was kind of just like the eighth person on the CSN team.
Right. You thought I was a deranged lunatic?
There were times.
Yeah.
There were times.
What do you think now?
I think you've calmed down a lot.
I think I'm a pretty funny guy.
Found perspective.
Yeah, I think I'm a pretty funny guy.
Maybe love.
Yeah.
Maybe started smoking weed, ayahuasca, whatever it is.
I mean, I think I'm a pretty chill guy. I think I'm a pretty funny guy. I think people make fun of me left and right, and I shoot back at them when I have something good to say. And if not, I just laugh it off, and I'm just like, yeah.
If I may, people make fun of me all the time, too.
That is true.
I get it from all angles.
That is true.
I wanted to talk to you about football.
Yes, please.
But I am curious. We do have pizza. You're not interested?
I didn't know this. Somebody said something. Matt said something. My producer said something about
Two pies in
having
there.
Pizza.
Shout out to
I did
Wild
not
Card
come
Scotty.
Over for that. I appreciate the offer. I did not come over for that. I was actually not even bothering you. I was trying not to bother you. I was in the boss's office. And again, Grant and CK were making fun of me. They had their...
Those two do like to pile up.
They
on
do
you.
Like to tag team. There's Pause. No doubt about it.
Pause. Let's keep it moving. I don't know, and there's probably evidence to suggest they can't.
Mm.
The Washington defense slowed down the Ravens offense. Derrick Henry looks like he could be a problem for a team that's not stopping the run all that well.
Yeah.
They did stop the run against Cleveland, but prior to that, it hasn't gone that well.
If you can hold somehow Baltimore under 150 rushing yards, which is, 150 yards rushing is what, about 28 yards over the league average. Maybe it's a little bit more. I haven't looked at the numbers recently, league average team by team. If you can hold them 150 or under combined, Lamar, Derrick Henry, I think you're doing a good job, and I think you give yourself an excellent chance of winning that game. Because I don't think Baltimore will beat you through the air on a crazy extension play like we saw to Isaiah Likely. Along the sideline, Lamar's going out of bounds. He flips it halfway across the field. It's an interception, turnover-worthy play, and somehow it winds up in one of his receivers. I think that's the way they beat you. via the passing game. I don't think it's just throwing the ball up and down the field to Zay Flowers, even though Washington secondary is a little susceptible. So I think if you can keep them somehow, some way, 150 or under on the ground combined, which is not easy, if you can do that, I think you give yourself a chance to win.
Ravens come into this game first in the NFL in rushing yards. They're over 1,000 yards rushing as a team.
So what is that per game?
First in the NFL in rushing attempts also. Mm-hmm. I don't know, 1,000 divided by 5 is
right. It's yeah, a little more than 200. Yeah. Yeah, so I mean is my number of 150 attainable in your eyes or no? Possible?
I don't know. Honestly, so here's where I was going before you talked for 4 minutes.
Sorry.
Was I think obviously the path
got a lot to do before too.
Obviously I don't know that they're going to be able to slow down the Ravens rushing attack.
Uh-huh.
The Ravens rushing defense is really good.
Uh-huh.
Some of that might be game flow.
Yep.
The Ravens are first in the NFL in rushing yards allowed.
Yeah.
This is an astonishing number. Have you looked at this number?
I've not.
Through 5 games, how many rush yards do you think Baltimore's given up?
In 5 games, I would say less than 450?
302.
Wow. Okay. So basically what you're telling me is now, they rush for over 200 yards. They allow 70 yards, if that, a game rushing.
But they give up a lot through the air.
I was going to say, the one way the Commanders can win this game is attacking through the air.
Or you show our rushing attacks better than all the bums you played, and we can run the ball still.
That's fair.
I don't know that Washington can slow down Derrick Henry, frankly. And then Lamar is Lamar, and he's going to do Lamar things.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know that they can't move the ball against Baltimore? Because I don't know that. I kind of think they can.
I think they can. I think they can. I mean, I didn't even know how good they were run-wise. And again, some of that is game flow. They were down. I think when we were in the early part of the fourth quarter, they were down by 10 midway through the fourth quarter, somewhere in that range. So
think about the Dallas game.
That's going to take you out of your...
Think about how big of a lead they built up. So Dallas isn't going to try to run the ball. They got to pass to get back into it. You know what I mean? Like some of the numbers are a little skewed.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. I guess I gave a bad example, but I guess my point is right, numbers sometimes can get skewed. They need context or nuance. I don't know. I've got to go back and look and study it a little bit more. That being said, I think you can win the game through the air, and the numbers would suggest that you can. And here's, I mean, listen, it would help big time if Noah Brown comes back. I know they don't seemingly miss a beat because they scored, 35 points? But I don't want to say they missed Noah Brown because De'Ami Brown stepped up, but they could use Noah Brown in this game for his blocking, for his underneath route running, for everything, right? So if they get him back, and Brian Robinson, I hope there was nothing there, right? He seemed kind of bummed out at his locker. He was pulled, obviously. I think that was precautionary. But, I mean, assuming he's okay to go and he can give you more than 7 carries, yeah, I think the Commanders absolutely can score at least 28 points in this game. I don't know if they score 35. I don't know if they score 40-burger, but they can score at least 28. The question, again, is going to be, can you not stop? Can you control Derrick Henry from, instead of ripping off a 50-yard run in overtime because people are bouncing off of him and he gets downhill with a lot of speed, can you keep that to, I don't know, an 8-yard carry? You know what I'm saying? Like, one big play can turn around the game, and it kind of did in Cincinnati.
So, as astonishing as those rushing numbers are,
mm-hmm.
they've given up 1,400 pass yards in 5 games.
Oh. I mean,
pretty significant. Now, they've faced Dak, Burrow, Allen, Mahomes.
Right, some premier quarterbacks. Well, but guess what?
Jaden might be premier,
I was going to say, Jaden might not be in that category just yet, but he's pretty damn close. You know, here's the thing. Troy Aikman last night on the Monday night broadcast late, I don't know if you were still with the game, because it was kind of one-sided. He's talking about, that young man, he's, look at how he throws with his eyes and he keeps his eyes up. He started that in the game Troy and Buck were calling on ESPN. If you go back and watch that tape against the Bengals, the most impressive thing for him that night, besides the McLaurin touchdown, is he would roll to the right by design or by necessity, and he would keep his eyes up and turn and flip his hips and throw an absolute dart. And I pointed it out a couple of times because it jumped out to me, like live and then on tape, and he's kept that up in Arizona against, I mean, if you look at, of course, the Terry flip the other day, 66 yards, that's essentially the type of thing that we're talking about. A little bit different, but the point being is everybody all of a sudden is waking up and going, oh, not only can Jaden run, but Jaden can throw on the run. And not every quarterback can do that. You know this, right?
Dude,
How many times?
The throw to Diami, the touchdown throw in Cincy to Terry.
Yes.
Dude, I love Terry. He dropped a touchdown.
Yeah.
There should have been another touchdown throw in the left corner of that end zone.
Yes, like, absolutely. He did drop.
They probably should have put up 45.
They could have put up 50, I said yesterday. Right? I mean, they could have. But my point is how many times did we hear, well, if they would just roll Taylor Heinicke out of the pocket, he could see better. Well, Taylor Heinicke sometimes didn't always have his eyes up and his mechanics and his hips flipped and his feet planted or the arm strength to do what Jaden Daniels can do.
And
there's obvious reasons for that.
Listen,
but
I'm gonna save you from you.
Mm.
You got stuff to do starting at 2 o'clock. I know you have meetings
right.
and such.
Yes.
Very important.
Very important meetings.
Who fired Robert Saleh?
Woody Johnson. I think with influence from Aaron Rodgers, but here's why it wasn't Aaron Rodgers primarily. If not, Nathaniel Hackjob would be the interim head coach, I think.
I don't think they could sell that. There's not enough PR spin in the world to let Hackjob be the coach.
It's fair.
Roost, you got to go. We're going to open the phone lines. 800-63, get a slice of pizza. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. The Ravens... Just a bull in a china shop, dude. The Ravens are probably going to be able to move the ball against Washington. But can't Washington move the ball against the Ravens? Phone lines are open.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.